owning games, which riles up certain folks.
Yeah.
Me? Yeah, well, it just depends on, like, do you want it archived? It's like owning a record collection versus Apple Music, like having DVDs or just subscribing to Netflix and hoping to
get it. Write down that analogy, please.
All right.
You're not writing, that's drinking.
That's how I commit things to memory.
Okay, we'll dive on in. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 1.5-year-old.
My name is Gavin, and I have a 1.5-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a, 6.5-year-old and a 3.5-year-old. Ooh. I'll go up by halves.
6.5. Yeah, it doesn't sound right. Go 6.
All right. 6. 6-year-old.
Like you committing to the halves, but not too great.
If one Gentlemen, gets how... it, the other one gets it. You have to be equal. Okay.
There you go. That. So as soon as he's 4, you're like, okay, neither of you get halves.
Yeah, cut. Yeah, that's it.
Full numbers. Gentlemen, how was your week in fatherhood and gaming?
I'll go first because it's pretty quick. Fatherhood, decent week. Lots of fun time with the little one. And really not too much to report. She's starting to babble a little bit more, a couple words here and there. So that's been good. She played with some bingo dabbers at the play center. That was fun. Of course, I decided to put her in a white sweater that day, so that was a little nerve-wracking. But she survived.
That sounds terrifying.
That was fine. Okay.
Can't speak to the other kids, but she's fine.
No, the other kids, they're probably still purple. Let's see here. As far as gaming goes, playing some Tomb Raider, getting my way through Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is very enjoyable. I really like it. There are times where I kind of like it a little bit more than Uncharted. But here's the thing, is like Uncharted is a fantastic adventure game, but Tomb Raider is a really, really good puzzle/archaeology game. There's things in its mechanics that make it feel like you're more invested in the history, and like, not that Nathan isn't, but like Lara just has this sort of way about her now that really sells it, especially with the mechanic of having to like learn languages and level up your knowledge of those languages. I just think that's a really fun mechanic. I'm playing a bit of that, and I picked up another copy because I already had it for Xbox, but I'm like, I want to play it again and I don't want to dig the Xbox out of storage. Spec Ops The Line, and playing through that after playing Uncharted is really weird because it's Nathan Drake's voice.
Yeah, I know, it's weird.
So it was because like when I first played
Nathan, that voice actor is in both of those?
Yeah. North does the voice for both, yeah.
Oh, like, that is weird.
So basically having this, like, the first time I played it was before I had played any Uncharted games. So to me, that voice was just a good game voice. And like, I'd heard it in certain ways here and there, but not as like prevalent as it is in Uncharted. But then after playing Uncharted and hearing just like hours and hours and hours of that voice, now going back in and replaying Spec Ops, it's like, it's so hard not to hear Nathan Drake.
Hardcore military shooter Nathan Drake.
Yeah. But what's kind of odd is like, so far he seems less violent. It's like a Delta Force operative. Like, it's kind of, yeah. But yeah, so that's sort of the combination of the dad and gaming.
Jeff, yourself?
Well, nuts to parenthood. I bought Horizon Zero Dawn.
I think my kids are home. That's fine. Yeah, listen about this game.
We took the kids. Daddy bought a new game. So I don't know, with the weather and stuff. Yeah. Kids were pretty quiet this week. But no,
you just didn't hear them.
Yeah, no, I locked myself in the game.
Yeah.
No, I bought that game again with a gift card because I'm not paying $80 for a new game ever. So it was I haven't bought a new game, I guess, since Uncharted 4. So it's been a while, maybe a year, I guess, and a bit. But holy crap, it's an awesome game. Totally recommend it. And it's like in the spirit of Tomb Raider, it's kind of Tomb Raider-esque. It's got jumping and crawling and finding and kind of archaeology of that world, but not mm-hmm. to the extent of Tomb Raider. And then with obviously a sci-fi twist of just robot dinosaurs, which who doesn't like to hunt robot dinosaurs and crafting and all these systems that help you along your way. A cool tribal kind of aboriginal feel to it. It's really neat how it's set up and the world just seems right and beautiful. Like if Killzone Shadowfall, if you've ever played that one, this is like to the 10th degree. They got Guerrilla Games knows their stuff. You know how to kind of create something that's just pristine, like no jagged lines anywhere. Awesome world that has a day-night cycle. I've been having fun. I even brought the kids in just to watch like the robot stuff.
Yeah.
Because you do fight humans later on, but they were blown away by the just the robots, how they act. Each one has its own personality. So there's one that's kind of like a velociraptor kind of looking thing, and it will, you know, tilt its head up and look around and try and scan and find you and kind of walk and crawl that way. So you have to use these strategies to kind of take down that one versus something else. It's really, I'm having a blast with it. So totally recommend.
That's definitely like next on my dance card for sure. Like
it's so fun.
And like, even though I'll be going from like game featuring a female protagonist with a bow and arrow to a game featuring a female protagonist
yeah.
with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't care because they are both fantastic games. So
just pretend it's a progression. Yeah. Lara Croft survives the apocalypse and this is where she ends up.
Exactly. Yeah. It's her in the future with sci-fi bows and arrows.
How's it from a dad perspective? Like, is it lots of save points? Like you can dive in and out, or is it something you need to wait till they're in bed and get a couple hours?
So it's kind of, well, with the rest mode in PS4, it's not too much of an issue, but it's kind of set up like Tomb Raider where I believe that one had campfires as well. That kind of saved your progress. Yeah. So the same kind of mechanic here where the campfires are kind of scattered throughout the world. So it's never too far to get to one for an actual save point, but otherwise you can just put it into rest mode or just get out to the main menu screen and have it on pause all the time. But in terms of having kids around, again, the robot and stuff fighting is kind of, it's more fantastical. So they're fine with that. There's no blood guts. It's just electricity and you taking down these animals. But yeah, there are some human parts that kind of rival tribes that come up. So that's going to be a bloody mess. So you kind of have to tread lightly on that. But there's a cool intro. You kind of start from it's not really a spoiler or anything, but you start as a kid. So the kids loved seeing the protagonist as a kid and kind of had that related feeling there. They wanted me to go back to the kid version of her because they felt that they had a connection. So that was kind of neat to see too. But it's definitely kind of you got to watch what you're doing in that game. If you have kids around,
you see you're playing and you see like a tribe of humans. He's like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, let's get
let's go this way. Let's go.
Cover your eyes, kids. Cover your eyes.
But daddy, what's what do they want to play? They don't want to play. They don't want to play.
They never want to play. Man, how does that? We take a quick sidetrack. How does that even work though? With because at the moment for myself, it's just it's hands on all the time. So there's especially like on the weekends when I'm home with him, at the moment, my gaming time is definitely relegated to only when he goes to sleep. So when I'm home on the weekends with him, it's hands-on full contact, just baby time. So how does that work? Like eventually, do you have some time, like on a weekend and your kids are busy and you sneak away to play games while they're awake? Or cause you mentioned like that you let them come in for a bit. Like how does that, Tell me about a beautiful future, Jeff.
Just like a rundown. Like we'll have something to do on the weekend, right? So we'll do whatever we need to do. Usually completed by 10 a.m. We've been out and done our kind of thing for the day, and then we'll have some downtime. We'll have lunch and whatever. And for the kids to go down in the basement and play, I can kind of do my gaming sometimes, and they can come and watch me and then kind of go back to the gaming. And they're happy just to kind of sit and watch. They don't really care about playing. They do bug me to play Star Wars Battlefront, but they, because they love playing that one, they like screwing around on that one. But there is opportunity for them to kind of watch you, and then they go back to their playing. I don't play for very long while they're up, like maybe an hour. So most of my game time is when they're, you know, down for the day, or if my oldest one is awake and my youngest is in bed, then I can go and game with him and he's fine with it. So it's there's light at the end of the tunnel, like around three years old is kind of when it happens, I think.
Okay. Yeah, almost not that far off though. Yeah. I'm getting there. Step by step.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just trying to imagine doing it now, and it's just like,
no, now, you know,
no.
No, there's no way. They get bored.
They're gonna be broken.
Yeah, now it's like, it's, as you said, it's full attention. It's like they're toddlers. They want to climb, and yeah, they have no sense of self-preservation. So it's like, they're conscious. But I actually kind of really dig the gaming while she's asleep, because like, it's very uninterrupted. Nobody's talking to me. Like, yes. I can very much just be like,
yes,
it's a shorter duration of time than like, let's say, or like, not as much shorter duration, but not as much as like, let's say with you, Jeff, like you're able to pepper in a few extra hours through the course of a weekend by having your kids around while you're playing. But, you know, to have that ability, it's like, I know she's down for a good couple of hours, and, you know, pending any emergency wake ups or anything like that, I have a couple hours to myself uninterrupted where I just put my feet up and enjoy some gaming. So I kind of dig the nap time game. It's sort of like, okay, I get some like full on like daddy daughter time, and that's great. We have lots of fun. We play and chase her around and make sure she doesn't hurl herself off the furniture. And then she wears herself out. And, like, it's like she had my full attention, and I've just tuckered her right out, and now she's exhausted and just curls up and sleeps like a champ. And then I'm like, all right, cool. You're sleeping.
Bye. Play
for a bit. Although sometimes it ends up being like half of her nap time I play, and the other half I'm like, daddy's going to have a nap now.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think mostly when I'm around for his naps, like for weekends, it's, I'm usually napping as well, because for me to get him into that state requires me to get a nap to recharge. Quickly for myself, I guess we had a great kind of weekend. No big advances during the week. Everything was pretty smoothly. This weekend we went to a bit of a amusement park type of thing with the grandparents. That was fantastic. Just trying to find like tiny rides that like would actually, so much of it is, you know, kind of for older kids, but there's kind of like this big padded area, which was such a blessing as far as like, you can't hurt yourself in there. Go. Oh, and he had a blast. It's just kind of funny because ultimately I find so often that like these things have a cost, and besides just monetary, which by the way, is like, it's way too expensive. These things, they know they got you. But beyond that, just like there's this cost where it's going to interrupt his schedule. Like if you want to keep them on a really rigorous and make sure everything goes real smooth and here's a nice schedule, it's like you have to commit to doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I'm never going to go out. I'm never going to visit anybody. We're not going to see family. We're not going to go to parties, like kid parties, not like adult parties. You know what I mean? And as soon as you do any of those things, like to commit to that event is to say, okay, he's going to be slightly messed up. Like we had some issues like putting him to sleep tonight because there's these weird nap times in the car. Weird tired state because he'd run out so much. He'd run around so much in this place. So tonight was a bit of a challenge getting him to sleep, and his eating was just horrific. But it's the cost. Like you pay to get into the amusement park, and then and you're gonna pay in complexities when you get back with food or for. I don't know if you guys have found the same, like if you've ever had to try to go to a family event and thought to yourself, well, this is going to have ramifications.
This is it.
With us, there's always concessions made as far as like, okay, well, we'll get out for this brunch thing. but we time it so that way our return travel usually is, like, she's pretty good at sleeping in the car, so it's like, okay, well, we'll make sure that nap time syncs up with our travel back. And that usually helps us quite a bit. And that's allowed us to do things like that, little family brunch things. And we have a portable crib, and we just keep it in the trunk of the car all the time. So if we're at, like, a relative's place, like, I can usually get her crib set up in, like, 3 to 5 minutes. So it's like, wherever we are, I can usually get things set up. She'll sleep in her stroller sometimes as well. That happened a few times when we were in Mexico. Yeah, there is also, like, she might get off schedule and a little bit fussy and have, like, a bad dinner or something. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's sort of the cost you pay to get out. But then you also have to pick your battles, too. Like, we got invited to an uncle's birthday party coming up. And it's, like, it's at a bar in the afternoon during her exact nap time. Like, it starts and ends, like, during her nap. So we're like, yeah, I think one of us is going to that, yeah, and one of us is staying home with the baby, because we're not taking her to that. No. But there's times where we've, yeah, let's go for a walk down around the beaches and stuff and have a little picnic, and you know, and you're just going to sleep on the way home. You know, sometimes that means taking the long drive home. But we've been able to do things like the zoo. We had a membership last season. That was really fun, because it was good to sort of have that at any given moment. We're just like, all right, let's just go to the zoo. Put it in the car, let's go. And going in the morning, really early in the day, was nice. So there's that other trade-off, too, is like the price you pay is that they might get off schedule a little bit. But if you try to get it in that window in the morning, everything's pretty quiet. You know, most people aren't out yet. So it's like, I'm sure with you, Jeff, like you're saying, like, you guys are done your stuff by like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, most people haven't rolled out of bed by 10 a.m. They haven't had their
coffee. Yeah, remember that? Remember that?
Never. It'll never happen. Never again. That's
it. Yeah.
Not until they're off to college, at least.
Yeah.
Dog and I used to have...
Jeff, have you found that... girls.
Just Dog and I...
Jeff, have you found that's gotten... Jeff, have you found that that's gotten better now, like, as they've gotten older, or is it still kind of very much the same trade-offs that you're fighting with, or concessions?
It's a lot better, and it's stuff that you want to do, right? So if you want to go to Wonderland, my youngest is almost competent enough to go there, but you could go there and have your fun along with them. So it's like, you're bringing them because you want to experience it with them, and you're not getting them out of routine. Like, there's no more naps anymore. So they're up with you at 7 a.m. and then they go to bed at 7, 8 o'clock, and that's your day. Like, you spend the entire day with them, so you plan what you want to plan and they come along. So there's it gets a lot better, because it's again what you want to do. So it's fun to see that too, and then you don't have to worry about all of a sudden having to deal with some, you know, diaper change or out of routine or whatever. It's all good. Potty training is awesome. Kids with no naps is awesome to a point, because then you do not get that break either, but you get to do your errands without having to plan around, for sure. So
yeah, I remember the freedom that we got when, like, we got rid of the morning nap and we just went to a one nap schedule, and it was like, wow, we have like this nice big pocket of time in the morning. Yeah. We can get so much done now uninterrupted. And like, yeah, it's like I missed that morning nap, because that was often a time where I would get caught up on sleep from like a midnight feeding or something. But you know, it's like, yeah, but we have more time to move and more flexibility in what we can do. And yeah, I can see how that frees things up. Don't have that it's like, oh, do we really mess with nap?
Just, yeah, exactly.
How badly do I want to go to this thing?
Yeah,
we're in this together.
You also lose that excuse of like, I don't know if I really want to go to this thing. Yeah, sorry guys, we just
totally want to, but you know, babies. Oh,
oh, naps, my nap.
Aren't your kids in college? Well, you know, any moment
routine still there. Sorry.
It's like a phantom limb syndrome. It's like a phantom nap, you know.
Yeah. Let's check it out.
Great. So the topic that we thought was kind of interesting, especially from kind of a dad and a new accessibility to a bunch of games that dads perhaps don't have a lot of time to play, would be the Xbox service that was announced this week, which was the rental service. So, geez, actually, I'm a bit cloudy on the details now that I try to talk about it, but as I understand it, it's a monthly fee, and accordingly, you get access to play any of their, or any number of these, let's say, call it 300 titles. I don't know if you guys have any of the details of the numbers or anything.
They have about 100, I think. They plan on adding more.
Yeah, they're going to be adding more. It's essentially Netflix. You pay a monthly subscription and you have access to them. You are able to install it onto your hard drive as long as you have a membership. Like, you have access to that that content on your hard drive, so you don't have to stream. It's not like with a PlayStation service where you're using up bandwidth every time you play. Like, you have access to the actual, you know, content and can install it on your hard drive and then play it for however long you want. And much like Netflix, they'll be adding new ones and removing old ones and sort of refreshing the stock as they go along. So it's intriguing for being able to get caught up on games that you might not have had a chance to play for a long time or never had a chance to play way back when. But it's also like, how hungry are you for games with what little time you have? Like, it's a service that's fantastic for people who really do need to, like, fill their time. But if you don't really have a lot of spare time, it's interesting. But I don't know if, at least in early parenthood, how relevant it is, or whether it's something that's better, like with Jeff's situation, where there's a whole bunch of really awesome classic games that you can start to introduce your children to as they get older and be like, hey, here's this backlog of really cool stuff I used to play, check it out. And it saves you trying to like hunt them down at like pawn shops and stuff like that.
Yeah, I could kind of see it in a family situation where it would work, where mm-hmm. I have kids with different, you know, wants, needs, whatever. So I can download the games that my older son wants and then the games that my younger son wants. I'm not so sure about the games that I would want to play just because they are a couple years old. I think the ones they listed were like Fable 3 was, I don't know, is that 4 years old or something?
Yeah.
Five?
Still holds up, I guarantee.
Because there's no way they could put new ones on there without, you know, a massive publisher deal with cutting into their profits. But I could see it working with families. It's just, I do worry about the cycling in and out. If you do have a game, I guess you have the opportunity to buy it too at a discount, but
yeah, they have that aspect too, where it's like you can digital download purchase ownership of it, like in perpetuity, as much as that even exists for digital. But it's not like, because I know like with Netflix, I'll have like on my list, my ever-growing, never-shrinking list.
Yeah,
there will often be ones that like, I swear most leave the list due to just expiration. Than leave the list because I watched it. I remember like a few where it's just like, oh, they stopped licensing that one. It really sucks. Actually, what was it? Well, one Christmas they got rid of Scrooged like 3 weeks before Christmas.
That's ridiculous.
They got rid of my favorite Christmas movie right before Christmas. It's like, yeah, well, what humbug do you do?
I was gonna say, it's kind of, would you call that irony? Like, that's just like, that's pretty Scrooge-esque.
That,
that's
yeah,
pretty
that perfect. Is a good. Yeah, like, did it on purpose.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Yeah, I think if you had older kids or like a household of people who were playing games, it could be interesting. As a father, like none of us have a short list of games that we need to get to. Like, oh God, if only we had more games to play. Like, God, there's too many. So that's certainly not our problem.
Like an insatiable teenager in your house, and they just chewed through whatever games you shoveled at them.
Exactly.
This service would be great.
Here you go.
Like, keep going. This is just for like a gamer who just can't get enough. And I think those, like, I feel satisfied with what gaming I have, what games I currently have on the go. It makes me less sort of like, I don't get super excited about new consoles. Like, I'm more able to just be like, well, I got lots to keep me busy and entertained right now. So I can kind of sit back and see like where the dust settles on this new stuff. and see whether it is for me or whether it might not be for me. It's not whether or not the stuff is good or bad, but it's more figuring out, like, is it a fit for me, and having that ability to be like, yeah, well, I'm plenty entertained right now. I got lots to keep happy. So I'm just going to hang back and wait. So I think what, because of that, like a service where it's like, all you can eat, it's like, I'm good. It's like when you're a teenager, yeah. Like, an all you can eat buffet was like a challenge. You're like, yeah, okay, let's do this. But then, like, when you get to be an adult, you're like, I'm great if I can just get a burger. I might get fries. I don't know. Like, I don't need to eat all I can eat because I'm happy with the portion size I have here.
Remember that was an accident. We stopped going. My wife and I stopped going to all you can eat because we had a disconnection around the challenge of it. Well, in the sense, because she would have like one plate. Like, no, that's like, that's not the point. She's like, I like the variety, but you know, I'm not gonna overstuff myself. I like the variety and I can choose. I was like, no, this is a challenge.
Double it.
This is how many plates.
we take how full advantage. Full advantage of all you can eat.
The two young boys, I'd hope so.
Oh my God. Yeah. And they get half price all you can eat. So we went to a sushi all you can eat. my oldest son loves sushi. He ate them under. I swear to God, they were looking at him like we should have charged him full price.
He's just a guy. Cleaner. They're just watching to make sure he's not bringing it to you secretly on the slide.
He's like Homer Simpson with the donuts, just shoveling them all in just forever.
I remember when I was a kid, I frightened a waitress with how many chicken wings I ate in like one sitting. It's like this little chicken wing shop in my hometown, and she was just like, she just looked at the stack of bones in front of me, just like, what?
More.
And my dad was just like, nope, that was him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my boy. Why
come here? Yeah.
I think
chicken wings.
What's interesting, that I have a certain appetite for rentals because I'm even thinking with Doom, which I have not been playing a lot of, like very little time for anything lately. But even with that, like it kind of feels like a rental to me. Like I want to go through it, absolutely loving it. It seems fantastic, but I certainly wouldn't have wanted to pay full price for it. Like it's just it's really that, especially like you know $1,800 for these things. So like you're new purchases really need to be limited because of the price of the things, but you want to get in, you want to have a game of it, and like the old mechanisms around being able to go to a store and rent something for you know a weekend or for a week to be able to you know beat it, feel satisfied, and return it.
Yeah,
I don't. Perhaps it was not sustainable. Like maybe that's actually not a model that gets enough money to publishers, and they can't. Yeah,
I don't think it would.
Like yeah. So I want to be cognizant of that. It's not like, you know, I would like you to bend your industry towards like my particular needs, but I'm curious if perhaps like if this thing can start to work and somehow be beneficial, if we could start to see.
Well, it's like essentially
a return
like
to it.
Before they used to do demos. Remember those days we had demos? Nope. They don't do those anymore. And now they're pushing a rental service. It's like, hey, you can have a taste. For a fee.
Yeah.
Whereas before we got a taste and we, you know, I don't like this. And it was free. It was good. So I can see kind of a step back.
Or it's really good and you're broke. So you just play that same demo like 1,000 times. Yeah,
I did. I mastered a lot of those demos.
There was a few demos where it was like, by the time I got around to finally acquiring the full game, like I had practiced so much in the demo. I just ripped through the game. I was like, I could speed run it before I even owned it. Because it's just all the practice I did in the demo.
But I don't know, perhaps I remember. It's actually Jeff. I mean, like there was a time where you and I know you and I had at the same time. There was that rental service in Canada. I think they have it in the United States as well.
Yeah.
They physically just mail you. It's kind of like old Netflix, but you have a GameCube, and they choose two or three of them, and they'll just mail it to you. So even back then, like I didn't even have a kid, but just with work, like I was so busy, I was finding that a game a month was about appropriate. Yeah. And the price, and it wasn't super cheap. I mean, that was call it $25 for that month.
You were
paying $25 to rent the game for the month, and they wouldn't send you a new one until your monthly fee kept going, but they wouldn't send you a new one until you had returned the one you're on. Did you find that service, like, did you enjoy that service? Like, did that work for you? Did you find back then?
It was kind of hit and miss. It would depend on the game, right? So I remember one was like Fallout New Vegas, which that did not work because a month with that, it was like scratching on the surface. But back then, yeah, it kind of was cool just because Blockbuster was under, like, I think they were almost out of business or on the
I think they were long gone even then.
No, yeah. So, but now that I've discovered the library has those games, I can just go get it for free. Like most games are there. It might not be Doom, but there are T-rated ones that are there and ones that my son could play or I could play, and that's free. So I like with these kind of services, I don't know. Everyone's kind of fighting for the same thing, and I think the developers will get involved at some point. I like, again, this service is a couple of year old games. You're not going to get new ones added, so maybe that's the pull. That
I think for the new games, what we might see is something more like with the new Hitman game.
Yeah, episodic.
It's like having it be episodic, or rather than investing a full $80 into a new release, you can sort of purchase it in chapters or acts. And like certain games lean really well towards that, like Hitman, because it's very much like each mission is its own self-contained thing. Something like Horizon Zero Dawn, not so much. It's an open world. It's about the expanse. So yeah, I it's tough because there's something nice about a subscription base, but there's also something nice about having a library, you know. And you know, it's the difference between having a record collection or subscribing to Apple Music. Like Apple Music, you have everything you could ever want to listen to. But you can also invest into a library that will satisfy all those needs. And it depends on how much of this media are you consuming, and is your current supply meeting that demand? And like, I know with myself in gaming, the amount that I'm spending on games in an average year, that is well satisfying my appetite. And not only that, but what time I have for that appetite. And it's like the same with Steam. Like, how much do people buy on Steam and never get around to playing? Like, everybody has if you have a Steam account, you have a Steam backlog. Like,
yeah, that's right.
They are synonymous. They're part and parcel. They exist. They coexist. So yeah, I think it's just a matter of like, I used to have a bit of a rule where I was like, yeah, I'm not going to dive into a new game until I'm done this one. Steam's the only exception to the rule because of the crazy sales. But yeah, I think it's just figuring out like when are you satisfied, and you know, with if you have teenagers in the house and you just can't shovel games at them fast enough, I think this service will be very beneficial, because it's just it's the French fry bin at the all you can eat buffet. You know, it's a thing where it's like, okay, this is just the filler. Let's just get you full. Please, like, just stop eating. And it's just the rice, and like it's like the fried rice and stuff, where it's just like pile it in, just go.
We're getting like secret insights into Gavin's like all you can eat strategies. Yeah, here's the wings. Here's the do not trend, not cross list.
Yep.
Here's the enemies: rice, potatoes,
fritters. Yeah. No, you just get a plate of bacon and like prime rib. That's all you go there for.
Just imagine taking your daughter there and like showing her the ropes. What is that? A bun?
Give that away for free.
Yes, it'll be fun to watch how it unfolds and see if it does expand its library. Like, see how many games it does get. If it could eventually pull us in,
more than PlayStation's alternative to it. Like PlayStation Now, I wish I liked the idea of it more. The way that Xbox is setting this one up, it feels like it could have a better likelihood of success because the price point will be consistent. It's not a variable price point where it's like, oh, well, it depends on what sort of tier of access you get. It's like, no, this is a monthly subscription fee. This is what you get. That's it.
Oh man, the Shield. Geez, that reminds me, like the NVIDIA Shield, like it was one of the most fascinating ones. And in some ways, it was kind of like a glimpse into a future where bandwidth is not so much so such a limiting factor at the moment, both from just a speed and a don't you dare go over 3 gigs type of thing. But so on this Shield, on this Android handheld that's like this big, and you know, like it's just an Android device that you flip up and you can take anywhere, like they also had a subscription service that would just do streaming, so very much like the PlayStation one. Mm-hmm. Except that instead of, you know, an entire console or anything else like that, you just have this portable handheld that you're theoretically on a bus or a train somewhere, and you're able to just play what they had, like some Witcher games in there. They had racing games, like just full fidelity, complete entire game. So like that console quality stream to this device as part of a rental service, like it felt like man, the pieces aren't quite here yet, because. The games were slightly old, still enough interesting ones. Like they had Borderlands 2, for instance, which is always like, you can always go back to that. That's always a blast. But between the bandwidth and the capabilities and the different spots, this idea is so enticing. The thought that at any place you can kind of just have this full console quality game, but it just, this technology is not, the technology itself worked surprisingly well. It's just like everything else around it. Mm-hmm. Speeds, bandwidth, everything else that I just mentioned.
I think like, those things, it's like, I think all those devices not be dependent on bandwidth and connection. Like I like the idea with Xbox. It's like you have a subscription, you can download it. As long as your subscription is valid and active and your connection is strong enough to verify, then that's great. To actually have to be a continuous connection and streaming. There are parts of even our country where you just don't have the connection. And it's like, well, then you lose an audience, you lose customers. There are data plans that in our country, quite frankly, are pretty bad.
Suck. They suck.
Like, yeah, you don't have
to. Competition.
Don't beat around the bush. They're garbage.
our data plan is garbage. So, yeah, I think having something where, like with the, I think Kindle has the same sort of thing where it's like they have a monthly subscription and you have access to just like a library of books. Stuff like that I think is great. It's like just verify that my connection and my thing is valid. Like even Netflix lets you download to device now. Like it's, I like this sort of combination of you can have ownership of it in the sense of you can decide what you want on your hard drive and not, but you don't really own it, because we digital media, you don't really own it. It's not like a printed book or like a disc in a jewel case. It's not really yours as much as you'd like to think it is. I do like sort of this other direction that it's going and not relying on streaming, because what if you want to play on the NVIDIA Shield and you're on a subway? Like there's no standard, like no strong, consistent connection in public transit. So this device, which is one of its biggest, you know, best uses, is like, I'm going to work. I'd like to play a game. And you're like, yeah, but unless you're above ground and near proper towers, you can't. It's like, okay, well, what if I download it at home? No, you're not allowed to download it. Oh, okay. I guess
okay. Yeah, crossword it is. Good old pencil paper.
Yeah.
Stuka with the win. Yeah. Oh, I think what's that Sudoku note? I think we'll wrap it up there for the week. Thank you everybody for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. This is a podcast that we do. Oh man, I got no idea what to say at the end of the podcast. I've totally blanked. Someone else take it. Oh,
I never pay attention. I don't know what you say.
It's the no
you
glasses.
Just blank out.
The glasses.
Yeah, I gotta say, all of a sudden I've just lost all my intellect.
Fatherhood, gaming, and figuring out our gaming lives. Is that it? Is that how it goes?
Man, at least come on. At least like it's like written all over the place. How do you not know that one? That's insulting. Thank you everybody for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. This is a weekly podcast that you can find on iTunes, Google Play, and any other podcasting service. If you have any questions, thoughts, or suggestions for show ideas, you can find us at our website at newdadgaming.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook and everything else social. We'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. And please share it around for any new dad who might be gaming. That's not even how it normally goes. That was like an all you.
It's so good.
That was the all you can eat buffet plate of usual sayings.
Yeah.
I walked up to the table that has all of the usual sayings, and I just plopped it on the whole plate. Tried to get through it.
Distracted all the food.
I had to start writing this down. Oh, I'm going to write this stuff down. My name is Trevor, and I have a 1.5-year-old.
My name is Gavin, and I have a 1.5-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 6-year-old and a 3.5-year-old.
Trevor needs cue cards. That's what we've got. Especially now that he's got, like, supervision.
We got to, like, I got to write it out. That's just, oh, man. That's so bad. Bye, everybody.
See ya.